Hello, and welcome to the magazine rack on Chris. I'm Mario Kahar, and today I'll be reading from the Hartford Current, the Pets Radar website, the Dodo.com website, and the PetMD website. Up first, we have an article by Lou Mudge titled, Do Cats Actually Have 9 Lives? The Truth Behind the Myth. If you've ever wondered, do cats actually have 9 lives? Well, you're not alone. We often find ourselves looking at our feline friends and musing about how they manage to get out of so many scrapes and scares with their nonchalant attitudes still intact. While cats might not actually have the ability to reanimate after death and carry on with their business, they are incredibly agile and smart and have more than a few little superpowers that make them great survivors. You can help your cat along with a few easy longevity tips, like keeping them active and mentally stimulated using the best cat toys. So here's everything you need to know about this myth and how to give your cat a long, happy life. First, do cats really have 9 lives? Unfortunately, cats don't have a mystical ability to come back to life. However, they do have some rather fantastic features that help them to survive life-threatening situations. Their speed, agility, and ability to land on their feet when falling from great heights help them pull off death-defying maneuvers, leading to the myth that cats have multiple lives. So if that's so, why do people say that cats have 9 lives? The history behind the 9 lives myth is kind of murky, with some sources suggesting that it comes from ancient Egypt and others indicating that it came about when cats on English ships survived falling overboard in storms at sea, reappearing the next day having climbed back onto the ship. That myth likely came into being when historical cat owners kept finding their seemingly indestructible kitties calmly basking in the sun after a near miss with traumatic injury or death. The myth likely came into being when historical cat owners kept finding their seemingly indestructible kitties calmly basking in the sun after a near miss with traumatic death or injury. So, how long do cats really live for? The average lifespan for a pet cat is 13 to 14 years, but a well-cared-for cat may live 20 to 30 years, says veterinary surgeon Dr. Lily Richards. Indoor cats generally come across less risk of a traumatic injury or infectious diseases, and therefore may be considered to be more likely to reach a greater age as compared to their adventurous outdoor counterparts. One of the oldest cats ever, named Cream Puff, lived to be a whopping 38 years old, and while this is far older than average, we can live in hope that our kitties will live that long too. Sadly, however, sometimes cats also don't reach their full potential lifespan. While we can protect them from as much as possible, sometimes accidents and illnesses do happen. Dr. Richards says, factors such as breed and genetics are outside of owner's control. Some cats are more prone to some life-limiting conditions such as heart disease, and so although we can care for our cats the best way we can, sometimes nature will take its course. So, you want to give your cat a long and happy life? Of course you do. So here are some top tips. First, make sure they have all of their vaccinations. A healthy cat is generally one that is protected from common diseases and infections with routine cat and kitten vaccinations, says Dr. Richards. Of course, which preventative measures you decide to support your pet with will depend on their lifestyle. Common core vaccinations include protection against feline flu and enteritis, as well as leukemia, and of course, rabies. Some vaccines also include a chlamydia component. Next is nutrition. Ensure that you're feeding your cat a high-quality diet produced by a company that values clinical studies and research, alongside suitably qualified nutritionists to ensure that the diet is balanced and ingredients of high quality are used to promote the best health in your cat, advises Dr. Richards. Third comes lifestyle. Indoor cats tend to have greater longevity than their outdoor counterparts due to reduced risk of traumatic injury, infectious diseases, and parasites, explains Dr. Richards. Considering whether your cat is allowed unlimited free time outside, is closed in overnight, or kept indoors full-time is a decision you can make depending on your location, external risk of traumatic injury, such as closeness to busy roads, and risk of predators, local wildlife risk. If your cat has feline immunodeficiency virus, or FIV, they will need to live indoors full-time to avoid the spread of the virus and to protect your cat from standard illnesses that can have a serious impact on their weakened immune systems. Indoor-only cats need plenty of enrichment and stimulation to keep their minds active and happy, so choose carefully with all these factors in mind, adds Dr. Richards. Fourth comes parasite prevention. Aimed at fleas, ticks, mites, and lice to prevent a range of diseases caused by or transmitted by these creepy crawlers, says Dr. Richards. If you have questions regarding protecting your cat, of course, speak with your veterinarian. It's also important to keep your cat up to date with their anti-worm medications, which can be purchased as a tablet, paste, or powder. Parasitic worms, such as tapeworms or heartworms, can negatively affect your cat's health. So in this case, prevention is always better than cure. And of course, your veterinarian is the best authority to consult on these matters. Number 5 is enrichment. Keeping your cat's mind healthy and happy is equally as important as nutrition, lifestyle, and preventative care, says Dr. Richards. Spending time with your cat, playing with toys, enjoying grooming, and sharing affection will keep their hearts full and their minds happy, which in turn affects their physical health. And don't forget the cuddles and love if your cat is on board. To sum it up, your cat's environment should be both stimulating and safe, so they can feel secure enough to play and rest as much as they need. You're listening to the Magazine Rec on Chris. Next, we have an article by Zara Patel titled, Pros and Cons of a Rottweiler. The Rottweiler, affectionately called a Rotty, is a breed of domestic dog known for its strength, loyalty, and intelligence. Originating from Germany, these dogs were originally used to herd livestock and pull carts laden with butchered meat to the market. In modern times, Rottweilers have found roles as police dogs, service animals, and beloved family pets. Like any breed, however, there are both pros and cons to owning a Rottweiler. So before you decide to welcome one of these affectionate dogs into your home, it's essential to evaluate both the advantages and disadvantages of ownership carefully. First, let's look at the pros of owning a Rottweiler. This dog breed is extremely loyal. Rottweilers are known for their loyalty to their families. Once a Rotty bonds with you, they will do almost anything to protect you and your loved ones. The breed is known for its strong attachment to its household, often becoming especially close to one family member. Their unwavering loyalty makes them excellent companions who will stand by your side through thick and thin. Rottweilers make excellent guard dogs. Given their history and natural instincts, Rottweilers are formidable protectors of their home and family. Their imposing size and deep bark can deter potential intruders without the need for aggression. Rottweilers don't typically show hostility without cause, but they will stand between their loved ones and any perceived threat, showcasing their inherent protective nature. Rotties are highly intelligent. Rottweilers are indeed smart dogs. They're quick learners and excel in obedience training. Their intelligence also makes them versatile, capable of performing various tasks, including as service or therapy dogs. With the right training, you can teach your Rottweiler almost anything, which can be a rewarding experience for both the dog and the owner. Another pro is that Rottweilers can be good with children. Contrary to some beliefs, Rottweilers can be incredibly gentle and good-natured with kids. They're patient and protective, often taking on the role of a loyal companion and guardian. It is, of course, important to teach children how to interact safely with large dogs to foster mutual respect and understanding. Strong physical build. Rottweilers are robust and muscular. They're built for strength and stamina. This physical prowess was essential in their historical roles and continues to be a defining characteristic. For active owners, a Rottweiler can be a fantastic partner for hiking, outdoor adventures, and running. Now let's look at the cons of owning a Rottweiler. The first is a high feeding cost. Because of their size and energy level, Rotties eat a lot of food, which can be a significant ongoing cost. Ensuring that they get high-quality food to maintain their health and energy can add up, especially when considering their dietary needs throughout different stages of their life. The Rottweiler breed is often misunderstood. Unfortunately, due to their protective nature and powerful build, Rottweilers can be misunderstood and are sometimes subject to breed-specific legislation and prejudice. This stigma can lead to challenges in renting homes, finding dog parks, or encountering people who are fearful of your dog despite their well-mannered temperament. Another con is that this large dog breed is not suitable for apartment living. Rottweilers are large dogs who require ample space to move around and play. Living in a small apartment or a home without a yard can be challenging for this breed. They thrive in environments where they can roam and explore, so a large living space is an absolute must. Rottweilers can be stubborn. While Rotties are very smart, their intelligence can sometimes manifest as stubbornness. Without consistent and firm training from an early age, they might try to assert dominance. Training and socializing your Rottweiler is crucial to ensure that they grow up to be well-adjusted and obedient. Rottweilers have a strong prey drive. Rottweilers have a pronounced prey drive that can be problematic around smaller animals. This instinct requires careful management and training, especially in households where there are other pets. Early socialization can help, but that drive to hunt prey is something that potential owners should always be aware of. So finally, is a Rottweiler the right dog for you? Rottweilers, with their strong loyalty, intelligence, and protective instincts, can be outstanding companions for the right owner. As such, understanding both the pros and cons of living with a Rottie is essential in making an informed decision. Given their size, strength, and temperament, these dogs thrive in environments where they are given structure, plenty of exercise, and lots of love. So if you're prepared to invest the time and effort into meeting their needs, a Rottweiler can be a wonderful addition to your family. This is the Magazine Rec on Chris. Now we have an article by Lou Mudge and Dr. Hannah Godfrey titled, Why Do Cats Like to Be in Boxes? Expert explains four reasons for this behavior. If you're a cat owner, you've probably asked, why do cats like to be in boxes? When you've spent a small fortune on a selection of the best cat toys, it can be really frustrating when your cat only wants to play with the box the toys arrived in. However, the humble cardboard box can be one of the most entertaining and multi-purpose toys that your cat can find. As well as offering a nifty hiding spot, cardboard tends to be fun for your cat to chew and scratch due to its soft and satisfying nature. If your cat enjoys ripping things up, as instinct often drives them to do, cardboard makes an excellent toy as it can withstand a fair amount of scratching, but it will also eventually come apart quite easily. So, why do cats like to be in boxes? Well, cats are particularly keen on squeezing into small spaces, according to the Journal of Applied Animal Behavioral Science. The study found that not only do cats enjoy sitting in boxes, baskets, and other enclosed spaces, but will even favor the illusion of an enclosed space, such as a square drawn onto the floor. But why is this? Let's find out. First, it makes them feel safe. Cats like to hide. When they're in a box, a cat feels as though they're perfectly concealed, but they're still free to observe their surroundings any way they like. Cats are ambush predators, so this element of being able to hide but still watch for some prey to come along satisfies some of their hunting instincts. Cats love being in cardboard boxes. In fact, the smaller the better, because if they're squished, they know they're safe, explains Dr. Godfrey. If you've got a cat hiding under the bed, this might be a sign of anxiety, and you might want to consider what might be making them feel uncomfortable. Number two, boxes are fun to play in. If you've ever wondered, are cats playful? Just give one a cardboard box and you'll see that they often are. A cardboard box satisfies multiple instincts, such as the instinct to hide, scratch, and chew, making them a great multi-purpose toy for your feline buddy. Number three, they enjoy the texture. Hey, if you've ever unwrapped a birthday gift, you know just how satisfying it can be to tear that paper open, and cats often feel the same way. Cardboard and paper are fun for cats to scratch, chew, play with, and generally destroy. The rustling or tearing sound caused by your cat's scratching might encourage playing, says Dr. Godfrey. Four, it becomes theirs. Every time your cat scratches or rubs against a box, they transfer their scent, making it even more appealing and familiar, says Dr. Godfrey. Remember, cats are territorial creatures, so having toys, beds, and perches that belong to them can help them feel secure. Is it good for cats to play in cardboard boxes? As a diligent owner, you might be wondering whether cardboard boxes are safe to play with. Well, we asked Dr. Godfrey about that, who says, in general, it's safe for cats to hide in, scratch, and play with cardboard boxes and paper. Cats are often more robust than we give them credit for, as long as there are no sharp edges, staples, or anything that could cut your cat or be accidentally swallowed. You can make boxes safe to play with by removing labels, plastic, and tape. It's best to be a bit careful with chewing, as small pieces could tear off and cause choking, warns Dr. Godfrey. While this isn't something I've come across personally as a veterinarian, it is worth bearing in mind. If you're concerned about your cat hurting themselves while playing with a cardboard box, you can still provide them with a hut-style covered bed, which will give them the same sense of security without any potential causes of injury. If your cat likes to shred paper and cardboard, try giving them an empty toilet paper roll or empty paper towel roll, as these don't have tape, plastic, or staples that could harm your cat. If your cat is a fan of boxes, you could get them a covered cat bed to help them feel safe and give them the opportunity to hide and observe their surroundings. So, why do cats like cardboard and paper? Cardboard and paper are often satisfying for cats to play with because they're easy to scratch, bite, and dismantle. And as Dr. Godfrey mentioned earlier, the rustling and tearing might be enjoyable to your cat, similar to how the best cat scratching posts make a noise when your cat is playing with them. You're tuned in to the Magazine Rack on Chris. Now here's an article by Alyssa Mercanti titled, What to Do When Your Dog Refuses to Walk. So you're out on a stroll and your dog refuses to walk, stops dead in their tracks, plants all four paws, and leans back against your pulling. Obstinate, determined, stronger than ever in its stubbornness. So what's going on and what do you do? First, you'll want to make sure that you have a high-quality and comfortable dog harness or a strong dog leash to ensure that your pooch doesn't slip out and run away. And second, you'll want to take a deep breath because getting frustrated won't help the situation. Your dog could be refusing to walk for a few reasons, and it's important that you get down to the bottom of it. Is it fear-based? persistent stubbornness? Is their leash or harness uncomfortable? We'll cover all the reasons why your dog refuses to walk, along with some tips and tricks on how to combat puppy immobility. Walking is an important part of your dog's health regimen, and so you'll want to get this sorted out ASAP. So, why does your dog refuse to walk? Well, there are a few reasons why your dog suddenly doesn't want to walk, and it's not because they've suddenly forgotten how to walk. Figuring out why your dog refuses to walk is the first step to getting them moving again, so here are a few possible reasons why your pup is suddenly frozen in place. 1. They're scared. Your dog could be stuck in place on the sidewalk or on the trails because they see or hear something that frightens them. It could be a bike, a skateboard, a stroller, a noisy car, or some other obstacle along the way. Maybe even another dog. They could even be scared of plastic bags or other things that are blowing around in the wind. This is a common behavior in unsocialized puppies or in newly adopted rescue dogs who are unaccustomed to the sights and sounds outside of the shelter, though it may also happen if you've recently moved with your dog to a new area. 2, they're uncomfortable. Ensuring that you have a harness or a leash that fits your dog properly is of the utmost importance. If it's pinching under their legs or the harness is too tight, this could severely limit their mobility or cause pain while on a walk, neither one of which you want for your pup. If you bought sweaters or other weather-related gear, make sure those fit as well. Your best bet is to let your dog get used to their harness, leash, or attire indoors, so that you can see if there's anything bothering them and help them get comfortable with their new gear. 3, they're in pain. Your dog could be suffering from knee or hip pain or could have perhaps stepped on something that injured its paw. Keep an eye out for signs of physical discomfort such as limping, favoring a specific foot, panting or whining, and make sure to take your dog to see a vet if you suspect that something's up. 4, they stubbornly don't want to go. Maybe you're at the dog park or your dog hasn't been on a long walk in a while, or maybe they know a bath is awaiting them at home. If your dog is refusing to walk, but is otherwise happy and healthy, this may be a sign of a stubborn streak brewing. If that's the case, you might want to work on your dog's recall skills or keep some extra delicious treats in your pocket. Should I force my dog to walk if he doesn't want to? No, don't drag a dog that won't walk with you. This could be dangerous for them, and if they're already suffering from some kind of an injury, it could potentially hurt them even further. If they aren't moving out of fear or stubbornness, dragging them along could cause an injury and will also cause them emotional distress. The only time that you should drag or tug your dog is if they're in imminent danger, such as when they might get hit by a car or fall over a ledge. Pause, take a moment to gather yourself. If you wait patiently and your dog eventually starts moving, reward them with a treat or a reassuring word. It may take a little longer to get home than you might like, but you'll get there. Worst case scenario. If your dog is small enough to be comfortably picked up and you're short on time, you can scoop them up and carry them home, but you shouldn't rely on doing this. If your dog is scared of something, dragging them past it won't help them get over it. If you suspect they're scared of something that they encounter on walks, talk to a behaviorist. So here's what to do when your dog refuses to walk. First of all, don't panic. You can handle this. There are several things you can do to make walking easier if your dog doesn't want to walk. First, as we said before, make sure their leash or attire is comfortable. Make sure your dog's leash or their harness isn't pinching or limiting their movement in any way. Make sure they're used to any new gear or attire before taking them out on a walk by letting them wear it inside the house and throwing them the occasional treat for their troubles. 2. Bring high-value treats on every walk. Hey, don't skimp on the good stuff when it comes to walking with your dog. Grab a handful of their favorite treats and put them in your pocket for the walk. Reward good behavior with a treat, whether that's walking past a loud skateboard and remaining calm or consistently walking calmly through a crowd. Number 3. Leave if something is really scaring your dog. Jessica Lempert, a certified professional dog trainer, suggests minimizing exposure to something that's causing your dog extreme fear. You shouldn't force your dog to walk by things you know they hate, she says. In fact, turning around and walking the other way can keep the walk going without interruption while keeping your dog's anxiety levels down. Number 4. Check with your vet. If you suspect something is physically going on with your dog, make an appointment with your veterinarian. They can check to see if your dog is having any knee or hip issues or is dealing with any other ailments that may make walking less than fun. If you live in a city, you may want to invest in doggy booties to ensure the pavement won't burn their feet, or glass or salt or other stuff on the sidewalk won't injure their paw pads. And finally, consult a behaviorist. If your dog is displaying signs of severe anxiety or severe behavioral issues, reach out to a trainer or behaviorist. Don't try and diagnose what's going on yourself. You'll want a trainer who uses positive reinforcement training techniques that can help you craft a specific plan for your pup, so you'll be walking together without issue in no time. This is the Magazine Rec on Chris. Finally, here's a story by Stephen Messenger titled, "Officer in the Middle of Traffic Stop Gets Ambushed by Someone Cute." Recently, Officer Elise Helkin of the South Dakota Highway Patrol was making a routine traffic stop on a speeding motorist when something happened that was anything but routine. She unexpectedly made a furry new friend. "As I explain my reason for the stop to the driver, obviously for speeding, I feel something brushing up against my leg, which is not something you want to feel when you're out in the middle of nowhere," Helkin told News Center One. "So I look down, and there's an orange cat." The cat didn't belong to the driver that Helkin had stopped, though he did seem eager for affection. As the officer completed her work, the cat climbed up on her shoulders, nearly knocking her hat off with his vigorous snuggles. And here we have a dash cam video of the cat actually doing that. He jumps from off the ground and climbs up and ends up on her left shoulder. Afterward, Helkin gave the cat a lift to safety. And here we have a dash cam picture of Officer Helkin and the cat inside her cruiser. She's smiling broadly, and the cat is seated comfortably on her shoulder. Helkin asked a few of the locals if the cat was theirs before taking him to the nearby Humane Society of the Black Hills. From there, it was only a matter of days before he was adopted into a new forever home. It was an open and shut case, and one that Helkin won't soon forget. In the original video, which I had to share with my co-workers, you can hear me say, "Best traffic stop ever," she said. And that'll do it for this installment of the Magazine Rack on Chris. I've been reading from the Hartford Current, the PetsRadar.com website, the Dodo.com website, and the PetMD website. I'm Mario Cajar. So long, till next time.